So our speaker today is Kyriad, who is part of the LixCore team, and we're going to present something about the Lix plugins.
Yes.
The floor is yours.
Okay. So hello, everyone. I am Kyriad. I am a member of the LixCore team. I was the person who originally transitioned the build system from auto tools and whatnot to Meson. I'm unfortunately qualified to review C++. I don't recommend that skill. But today we're going to talk about Lix plugins. And if does anyone even know that Lix has plugins? Okay. Some of you. Probably the most well-known plugin is by another LixCore team member, and that is our very own Jade, which got integrated into Lix, and that is the plugin that allows you to look at the doc strings for lambdas. That was originally written as a Nix plugin. And there are a non-zero amount of other plugins. Just doing like some GitHub searching, there's some. That's basically all that I was able to find in the entire worldwide internet. And it's not hard to see why there's so few, because do you know what they can even do? The answer is basically anything. If you look at the way that the plugins are initialized, it is literally just a single function that is called with no arguments for a compiled C or C++ library, and that's it. So anything that they can do is just with the C++ API to Lix, which is a thing that exists, and it is a thing that is not well documented. The documentation for our C++ API is not hosted anywhere. Our C++ API is not stable. It is not the same as CPP Nix's, and it cannot be, because theirs is also not stable. Their documentation, I think, is also not hosted anywhere. And, you know, it uses C++. But there are some specific concrete things that plugins can do. Notably, they can add built-ins, because many things in the Lix codebase are registered at runtime, at the startup of the program. Built-ins, so primops in the codebase, as well as fetcher schemes in libfetchers, are all registered. So theoretically, a plugin could add a new, like a type equals. You could have a fetcher for S3 or whatever cursed thing you want. They can add configuration options. They could maybe add commands. I don't know how well our argument parser would tolerate this, but it is theoretically possible. But we can go weirder, because the Nix value type in our C++ codebase has one variant, which is a C++ class called external value base, which is a C++ class that any class can inherit from to create an external value that is a real value in Nixlang, but is otherwise pretty opaque. It's a bit like Lua's user data type, but it has a lot more limitations. It cannot be called, it can't have attributes, but it can have defined toString behavior, and it can have defined toJSON behavior, and everyone likes JSON. But let's diverge for a moment to talk about determinant systems. Because I hear adding languages to the interpreter is cool these days. They gave this a very cool demo, adding WebAssembly code to the interpreter. And it is actually pretty neat. It shows like how much faster these things could be. But there is a bit of a problem, which is they compiled with optimizations on to WebAssembly. And if you look at the disassembly, compilers are smart enough to optimize Fibonacci these days. So their naive implementation of Fibonacci was compiled to from a quadratic implementation like they used in Nixlang to a linear implementation. So let's compare apples to apples. And instead of comparing a quadratic Fibonacci in Wasm to a linear Fibonacci in Nixlang, let's compare a linear time Nixlang to a linear time Rust in Wasm. And let's do a live demo and hope it works. Yes, absolutely. On my MacBook, which is very much not the most beefy computer around, it's the first generation M1 Mac, that finished for Fibonacci 40 in 68 milliseconds, which is... did they show their time? Yes. 0.33 seconds was their amount for Rust. So mine completed in double the time in pure Nixlang, because they were really just benchmarking the interpreter warm-up. But all that being said, this is still pretty cool. It's a good idea to be able to load external things into the interpreter, but we don't need to hard code this. We can load Wasm with a plugin. And not just any plugin. If you don't want to write C++, you don't have to. We can write a plugin that loads other plugins. So here's an implementation of Fibonacci in linear time in Rust. I can load a plugin which adds built-ins.load plugins, and then specify a path which can be a derivation to load that plugin, and then I can call a Wasm function from that plugin and get the same thing. And if I do another live demo, that'll maybe work, which I have to do on this screen. Maybe. Where did my terminal go? There it is. Thank you, macOS. What? It is. How? I don't know. What? Okay. I'm not going to worry about that for now. Because I think I have a... No, I don't. It completes in about 300 milliseconds. And all of that is, again, we are just benchmarking the startup of the virtual machine. So I propose that we can do something much cooler than Wasm. Where's my cursor? There it is. And that is that, like I said, everyone loves JSON. So if we can be stupid about this and not and just have an ABI at home, all I'm doing in this demo is I am serializing a Nix value to JSON, and then I use Surday to serialize it, to deserialize it in Rust, and then I convert it to a Wasm value. But like I said, Wasm is actually kind of heavy for this. Because you know what is possibly faster than Wasm? Lua. Especially if you use LuaJIT. So here, I have determinant systems mentioned that they, if you wanted to write a YAML parser, if you want to parse YAML into Nixlang, you would either have to use import from derivation or have a parser written in Nixlang. They had a parser written in Rust, but they didn't benchmark it. Here is a random built-in random YAML parser that I've just found with a GitHub search that is a single file. And I exported lib.systems, lib.platforms to YAML. And I am having Lua read this into the interpreter and then again serialize it as JSON and deserialize it into a Nix value. And that that also completes with comparable time. And again, most of this is just VM startup. But we all know that LuaJIT is unlike, well, one of the benefits of WASM over any other language is that it is, it can be its own self-contained runtime. We use a functional programming language for a reason. We are trying to avoid impurities and not add as many as possible. But something that, although you can compile basically any language to WASM, which is one of its benefits, Lua is 100% meant for sandboxing and for being its own embedded environment. And because Lua is as simple as it is, although this example was compiled with LuaJIT, I also compiled it with a non-JIT Lua, and it worked just as well. It was obviously not as fast, but it works just as well, and you can have Lua doesn't have a significant bootstrapping problem because you can have a dependency-free pure C implementation of Lua in a couple files. So going forward, we could do anything with Lix plugins. We could add new languages, like I demonstrated. We can add new fetchers. We could have Flakes could entirely be a plugin. There is nothing that Flakes do that couldn't be in a plugin, even with the existing API limitations. But how do we load them? There is no standard way to specify that a Nix expression requires a set of plugins. But thankfully, we happen to have a build system around. We already have a system for specifying and locking evaluation inputs for our workspaces. Sorry, Flakes. But why not have workspaces lock the interpreter and specify which version of the interpreter they need to use and which plugins they need to use? And then, like I said, even my hacked together plugin loader can load plugins from a derivation. They could workspaces could specify their own plugins. They could fetch them all, probably from a substitutor, or build them if you're less lucky, and evaluate the workspace with any plugins it needs. Instead of hard coding all of these things into the interpreter, we can use what we have as our product, a build system, and we can, instead of making Lix or CppNix a more and more cobbled together code base, we can foster an ecosystem where anyone can extend the interpreter in any way that they want. And we can have all the power in the community to not need to write C++ to get Lix to do interesting things. NeoVim is how you build your own IDE. It also has plugins. NixOS is how you build your own Linux distribution. Lix should be how you build your build system. Any questions?
We have 10 minutes of questions.
So the plugins, as far as I understand, I last interacted with them before the fork even, so it's been a while. But they are native code, right? So
yes.
You'd need, when specifying them, to be able to specify them for all the systems that you want to evaluate on?
Yes.
Do you think there's space for having something system neutral that would sort of be the way to do plugins rather than needing to solve the system dependency thing in
absolutely
each one?
Absolutely. Like I said, the thing that I built was a plugin loader. That was the only part of the of all of, I built three plugins. The first was a plugin loader in C++. The other two were a WASM plugin and a Lua plugin, and none of those used C++ at all. And there's no reason that they couldn't themselves be written in a system neutral language like Lua or Ruby or Python, so long as we have something to jump into. And I mean, right now I'm doing that with a plugin that is loading other plugins, but there is absolutely space for having that as a more first-class citizen, and I think that would be a wonderful thing. Anyone else?
So this might be a nitpicky question, but I was wondering about the like lazy semantics of it. So since plugins can add built-ins and everything, it seems pretty important to know when exactly the plugin is loaded. And so is this only something that you can do? So I guess the workspace thing does kind of solve if the interpreter injects the plugin. But I guess the question is like, how do you make sure that like your plugin is loaded before the users of its built-ins and everything? Again, this might be kind of...
I mean, that is a very good question. I would say mostly that is an unsolved problem. But I think that that is a solvable problem. Like you said, if we can have a way for workspaces to specify their plugins. I didn't have a chance to finish this before the talk, but because plugins can add their own fetchers, I had a proof of concept that let you specify in your Flake inputs type equals plugin, and it would fetch that expression, build it, and then load it, all without modifying the actual interpreter code itself.
So all of this sounds wonderful from a certain perspective, but my first question is, like, is this a world we want to live in where things need their own interpreters, their own plugins, and you can no longer compose things without loading arbitrary native code, which might conflict, which you might not trust? Currently, sure, for various reasons, I don't trust Nixaval not to let me escape the sandbox, but at least it's code I can alter and control.
No, that's a good question. That is a very good question, and I would say that it is not worse than passing around WASM blobs.
That WASM blobs have a pretty well-specified sandbox surface, and WASM is pretty well agreed upon.
That's true. But if our plugin loader loads a system-neutral and embeddable language, like...
Which version of Lua? Which version of Ruby? What packages does it have available?
Those are all good questions. I made mine work with Lua 5.1. It also compiles with 5.2 and 5.3. I didn't check the others. But, I mean, you really would love to use the power of LuaJIT, which is on 5.1, which is what NeoVim uses as well.
Even for WASM, I'm worried enough about variation in WASM interpreters allowing non-determinism. So Lua seems like a much bigger surface.
That is a very reasonable concern.
We can take like one last question, and then we will move on to the next talk. All right. There is like one last question.
Yeah, this is going to be a very annoying question. How different is it from the cursed built-ins.import native that got deprecated a while ago because it's terrible? I understand from the code you showed they had better ergonomics, I guess. Mm-hmm. Is there any other advantages other than like, oh, this one can actually be used reasonably and not just like, yeah, just embed like a binary blob in your Git repo and pray to God?
Yes. So there are a few advantages. One of them is that, I would say that the biggest advantage is also a disadvantage, which is that you can be as impure as you need. And that's because any plugins that you load can call any part of the C++ API, which is, again, just our like internal Lix headers at any time, although they get a single function called at initialization. My plugin loader plugin does not register the plugins it loads with Lix. It just calls add primop whenever it wants. And so that's something that import native couldn't do. And likewise, a plugin can do things like extend the logger. It can interpret the logging JSON or similar.
Yeah, I remember Jade's Nix Hotel that extended the logger, and I tried to port it to Lix, and the API has completely changed, and I don't like doing C++, so...
No, I do not blame you.
Thank you very much. A big round of applause for Kyriad for this amazing talk.
Thank you, everyone.